We were having a discussion in the newsroom this morning, and our own Fiona Stack mentioned that she had seen a very interesting quote by, I think it's fair to say, the Scottish National Treasure, Billy Connolly. And he wrote, "I'm on a little one-man crusade to bring the obituary closer to the front of the paper. Let's sing a bit louder about the unsung, rather than spending all our time watching stupid people doing stupid things and being filmed by other stupid people on reality TV shows. Why don't we spend a few minutes each day reading about good people doing good things? I'm not being a hippie, it's just that we've got to improve ourselves as a species or we are absolutely doomed." And that was Billy Connolly, the great Scottish comedian. Now, I'd love to hear your opinion on that. And until we do, joining me on the line now is the writer, retired teacher and, of course, frequent contributor here on Radio Kerry, Sean Lyons. Sean, you're very welcome to talk about.
Thank you very much, Peter. I got a bit of a fright when I was holding there and you said you were going to be talking to a personal stylist and colour consultant.
Surprise!
That's one area I don't think I could give advice on tomorrow. I leave that to the experts.
What do you think of the Billy Connolly quote?
I think it makes an awful lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea that we're so inundated with bad news. I was just up in the shop there a little while ago getting something, and I was looking at the newspaper headlines, and it was like listening to the old Tommy Makem song, you know, the Four Green Fields, there's war and death and plundering and pillage. Mm-hmm. And this really would put you into bad form. Now, I think the last time I was talking on Radio Kerry, I was talking to Jerry about a passing of a great friend of ours, Saline Slattery. Mm. And to read Saline's obituary and to read about all the things that she achieved in her life and all the things that she was part of, it really was inspirational. And I think, like Billy Connolly said, we do need a bit more of the inspirational and a bit more of the positive.
And there is something quite powerful about mm-hmm. the idea that some of the most inspiring stories in society are the ones that are kind of tucked away in the obituary pages.
They are. And, you know, sometimes there's a danger, you know, that we fall into. If you remember your Julius Caesar, your Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, when Brutus was delivering the obituary on Julius Caesar, and he said, the evil that men do lives after them, whereas the good is oft interred in their bones, or with their bones. I think, you know, we need to see the good that people have achieved. And everybody has achieved so much in their lives. I mean, just getting through it is an achievement in itself. And I'm at the stage of life now where, as somebody said to me, like for us now, Sean, RIP.ie is the new Facebook.
Oh, very good.
So we're keeping in touch with what's happening. And I think as well that, as well as being inspirational, I think an obituary, it can be reaffirming, you know, to know that, you know, the person like Con Houlihan used to say, he often felt like he was forgotten but not gone. But that, you know, when you read an obituary, you realise, you know, this is the legacy that somebody has. And death isn't final, you know. Brendan Behan in the play of The Hostage, you know, he took a quote from I think it was from Corinthians, and said, you know, death, where is thy sting-a-ling-a-ling, and grave, thy victory. So I think an obituary is somebody's victory. It's somebody's life being celebrated. And instead of reading all the negativity about the war and death and evil, you know, to read something positive and to inspire people that, you know, when you're gone, people could be saying something like this about you.
And as a retired teacher, do you think that sometimes we underestimate the impact that ordinary people have on their own communities?
I think we do. And I speak now as an older person, and I think, you know, sometimes older people, we become less visible. You know, there's the songs, you know, at the streets of London, you know, have you seen the old man, you know, that nobody notices. Or, you know, Patrick Kavanagh, Seamus Heaney, you know, the things that they wrote mm. about their parents and so on. And it's the small things. It doesn't have to be a major achievement. Like, there are people in society who achieve major things. But I think, you know, there are so many people out there who are doing so much good, so quietly. The small, you know, what did Wordsworth say, the little nameless unremembered acts. And just small little things like somebody giving you a parking, you know, when there's a half an hour left on their parking ticket and handing it to you. Or, you know, somebody who's caring for a neighbour, not necessarily caring for a family member, but somebody who goes into the neighbour, the older neighbour next door, you know, with a sandwich in the evening. Or the young people that go out in the evenings and, you know, tidy up around the neighbourhood. I think all of these things, they can go unnoticed, and I think we should celebrate all those little things.
And do you think it would be beneficial or a nice thing to replace, you know, the simple death notice that you'd see at the back of the paper with, like, detailed obituaries for regular people, like, you know, the obituaries you'd see in the Sunday Times and papers like that? They usually focus on the rich and famous, the, you know, the great, the good and stuff. And, like, should we be telling more of a person's story, similar to the way, you know, you might hear in eulogies or tributes at funerals and things like that, that it would be a kind of a way to memorialise a person and get across those really important, small, but essentially what makes life worth living, those good things?
I think that's an excellent idea. You know, to just have, as you say, those small things, the achievements, so eulogies. It's smiling when you mentioned eulogy, because I was at a funeral up at home a couple of years ago. An old neighbour of mine passed away, and the man, he was a bit too fond of the drink, the same man. But in the eulogy, you know, it was quite glowing, shall we say.
Okay.
And when I was coming out of the church, his widow said to me, she said, "Who was that we're talking about up at the altar?" Because it certainly wasn't my Michael. So I think there's a danger. Maybe we might glorify rather than celebrate. But I think that's a nice idea, you know, just to have a few lines about somebody, not necessarily, you know, the full half page. And obviously there are people who have achieved so much, and they deserve, you know, we deserve to know what they've achieved. I remember there was a story when I was living in Australia, like in New Zealand, you know, they take the rugby so seriously. Mm-hmm. And to be an All Black is just...
to canonisation, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And some famous New Zealander died, and the man had fought in the Second World War and had, you know, been decorated so many times, escaped from a Japanese prison camp, had saved lives of countless people, became a doctor, became an international health specialist, and then was with the United Nations and got to be very, very high up in the United Nations, and then came back and was ambassador to two or three different countries. And when he died, the headline was, "Former All Black has passed away." So.
Priorities.
Yeah. So eulogy is all about priorities. Yeah.
You know, I've heard people suggest in the past that rather than, you know, when people are setting their New Year's resolutions and, you know, their goals for the next while, that rather than setting goals based on what you want to achieve right now, that you should actually think about what you'd like people to say about you in your obituary. And, you know, do you think that's a useful way of planning your life, or of trying to not motivate yourself, but to aspire to?
I think aspire is the word. And I think there's a place for both, you know, to set the New Year's resolution, because obviously that's only going to last about 3 days. The membership of the gym will be lapsed by about January 4th. But I think the idea of, you know, living your life in the sense of, you know, how will you be remembered? I think that's a very, very valuable philosophy, actually. You know, not in the sense of, you know, being always conscious and wondering what people think about you, but, you know, what would people remember about you? Well, one of the things I like to do if I'm away someplace and have an hour or two to spare, take a stroll through a graveyard and just... look at what's written about people, and not just when I'm away, but, you know, to stroll through the graveyards and around Tralee. And it's nice when there's something written on the tombstone to say that, you know, somebody was whatever they were, you know. And there are so many heroes around the place. But when you think of the people that worked on the, and still work on the lifeboats, you know, when you think of the farmers that are innovating all the time and, you know, getting food on the tables despite the adverse weather and despite the cost of everything, you know, the teachers like there are teachers doing wonderful, wonderful things, small things, big things and all that. And I think we should be more celebratory. And when somebody does go, I think, you know, to have that those few lines just to let people know that this person was an important person, this person was worth remembering, and this person is worth celebrating.
And Sean, you know, I really like that idea. And, you know, Billy Connolly, in that quote, he mentioned that, like, sometimes we spend too much time watching stupid people doing stupid things. And kind of going back to your point about prioritisation, like, it is very possible with the way the news is and things like that to see the world as a very dark place. But it's, like you said, the shopkeeper keeping their own shop open, or the teacher inspiring the next generation, like, ordinary, everyday people really are the ones that can make your community and life so special.
They are. And you don't have to, you know, turn off the TV. I mean, there's a lot to be said for escapism. Like when I finish here now with you, Breda, I'm going to have a look at Home and Away to see if Tanya and Joe are getting back together. It's important,
you know? Essential, one would say.
Yeah. But it's important, though, you know, I think it's become, in the last few years, in terms of reality TV, in terms of social media, Facebook and all of that, you know, we're not getting an accurate view of people's lives. We're getting, sometimes it's quite an idealised view of the people's lives. So it's important, you know, that we relate to people, you know, reach out to people, you know, be with people and be in a space with people and know what's going on, so that, you know, when the time comes, and that person does leave us, going back to the, you know, Billy Connolly's obituaries, we'll know that this person's life was a life worth lived. And while, you know, they did maybe waste an hour or two a week, you know, watching Home and Away, you know, they did an awful lot of good besides, yeah.
And just before we wrap up, now, this might seem morbid, and I don't want it to seem morbid, but, like, we've spoken about the, you know, the beauty that can be contained in an obituary and in honouring a person properly. If, hopefully, in the far, far, far distant future, someone was writing your obituary, what would you hope that they'd say about your life and how you lived, Sean?
Well, I'd like them to write, you know, he had a wonderful 102nd birthday. But I'd like them to say, you know, that he did his best. He made a few people laugh, and any mistakes he made, you know, he was sorry and wished he hadn't made them, but that's life.
Sean, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Not at all, Breda. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.